Hi, I'm Sachi Singh. I am the founder and CEO of Rootless. We are a new company building the seaweed-powered future of food. And you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing.
Yeah. My name is Abhay Dandekar, and I share conversations with talented and interesting individuals linked to the global Indian and South Asian community. It's informal and informative, adding insights to our evolving cultural expressions, where each person can proudly say, trust me, I know what I'm doing. You know, every so often on Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing, we share a spotlight and feature brief chats with an individual from the community about a unique topic or cause. On this spotlight episode, I wanted to chat more about a novel way that one person and one company is aiming to combat climate change and build a solution around a little used commodity in seaweed. Sachi Singh is the CEO and founder of a company called Rootless, and she brings over a decade of experience in international climate change solutions across nonprofits, academia, and philanthropy. In seaweed, she found a rare bright spot, a timeless ingredient with transformative potential for health, climate, and local economies. She started her company to help build a healthier, more sustainable seaweed-powered food system of the future. Now, so far in climate consciousness discussions that are going on out there, I'm sure there are lots of solutions on the table, but seemingly very few involve the surprising superstar of the ocean in seaweed that Sachi has grown so passionate about. Tell me one thing, how did you discover seaweed as perhaps a transformative commodity?
Thank you for having me. Talking about seaweed is literally my favorite thing to do.
You said you're now a traveling salesman of seaweed.
Exactly.
Right?
That is my whole job. Yeah. How did I discover seaweed? So I actually stumbled upon seaweed in my decade of working in the climate and ocean space. Yeah. Actually, in my years between my two grad school years, I was living in the South Pacific and on the island of Samoa, doing some research on climate adaptation, and saw my first seaweed farm in Kiribati, which is really, I think it's the most remote, least developed country in the world.
Oh, wow.
So it's a very interesting place. And something kind of seeded in my head at that time. And I've
almost rooted in your head, so to speak. Huh?
Exactly.
All right.
Whilst on my rootless adventures.
Yeah.
Many more puns where that came
there
from.
That's right. That's right.
But I, you know, when I was in grad school, I started to think a little bit more deeply about climate solutions, you know, and think about them at that systems scale.
Yeah.
And it kind of frustrated me how small we were thinking about climate solutions. You know, the food folks were somewhere and the climate mitigation folks were somewhere else. And,
Yeah. You
know, policy and advocacy, we were just not thinking about solutions, I thought, in a way that was commensurate with the scale of the challenge. And I always thought food was a really interesting way to make something as scary and hairy and global and at the systems level, personal and visceral and kind of personal to the consumer and their behavior.
And so importantly connected to literally everything and everyone.
Totally.
Yeah.
And it just makes this big hairy problem personal,
yeah.
You know, and kind of values-based. So was in this heady space and discovered seaweed. And I was like, this is the thing. This is the hill I'm going to die on. This
yeah.
is truly what I think could be the future in food, future of food and future of farming if we do it right. So it was, you know, percolating in my head for a bit. And then in late 2020, I quit to try and do it right, to try and build a seaweed-powered future of food.
What does now, in thinking about that experience and that sort of transformative shift in thinking and almost the series of aha moments, what does Rootless offer as a scaled solution in the global marketplace?
Such a good question. Very top of mind too, because the seaweed industry is nascent in the West.
Yeah.
You know, less than 2% of the seaweed that we eat in the US comes from the country. And it is one of the most nutrient-dense and diverse foods on the planet. So it has this, there's over 15,000 species of seaweed. You can actually eat all of them. You might not want to.
But there's quite a biodiversity there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And abundance.
Yeah.
And each, you know, species has a slightly different nutrition profile. But broadly, we're talking high-quality protein, dietary fiber, vitamins, minerals, bioactives. And it's the regular consumption of seaweed that's actually been linked with reduced rates of metabolic syndrome disease in communities that are eating it and have been eating it, you know, as part of their diet in Japan, Okinawa, parts of East Asia. So It is both uniquely transformative for human health and also uniquely transformative for planetary health because it is a regenerative zero input crop. So it's not only net neutral, it's actually net positive.
Yeah.
So it's regenerating the environment in which it's grown. It's providing standing structure for marine biodiversity to thrive. It's deacidifying the ocean. It's absorbing atmospheric carbon. It's providing access to livelihoods for coastal communities that have been ravaged by climate change. So it's, and you don't need land. You know, you don't need freshwater fertilizer land to grow this incredible, abundant, nutritious food source. So what we're trying to do with Rootless is create kind of a moment around it. You know, how do we get more people to eat it? How do we get more people to grow it? How do we help more people access the transformative benefits for both human and planetary health?
When you think about activating that more, so far, what have been some of the surprises when you've told this story to, and also in thinking about your background, right, in academia and philanthropy and working in those systems, what are most people surprised about when they hear this story and try and weave it into their own everyday functionality of doing things?
Yeah, it's a great question. I would say two-part answer. One, I can say, tell you what people are surprised about, and one, maybe what I'm
what you're surprised about, right?
I love taking people through the journey that is seaweed. Yeah. You know, it's such a beautiful tool for storytelling. It has, there's so much cultural, historical legacy around it. It's been used as food, as medicine, literally since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
There's some pretty wild research out there to suggest that the kind of bioavailability of the nutrients present in seaweed might have actually helped us develop cognitively as a species. So super interesting stuff. But I think it's a new story for most consumers. So even if you are eating seaweed as part of your diet culturally, or, you know, as part of your sushi or snacks, this is, you know, my kind of anecdotal experience, and I have talked to a lot of people about seaweed. Over the last 2.5 years, I should actually start to record it so I have some data. There are very few people who know what it could do for your health.
Yeah.
So I think that story is the story that we're really excited to tell.
Now, unlocking that secret, is there sort of a double-edged sword of, well, I know it's a secret for folks, and yet I want to keep it a secret because, you know, our product is sort of based on this magnetic appeal of this kind of little-known secret that is waiting to, in some ways, be tapped into.
I think one of the beautiful, I would say it is definitely a little known secret, but one of the most beautiful parts of this sort of system of transformation that we're trying to bring on is that the more we eat it, the more we grow it, the more impact we can have.
Yeah.
So actually, we need more people to eat it. We need more people to get excited about it. We need more people to incorporate it into their wellness routines, into their kids' products, into their kids' lunchboxes, on their bodies. You know, we just need more seaweed in the world. And I think on the flip side, we're at the precipice of really unlocking ocean farming for seaweed. And if we do it right, if we put kind of standards around what sustainably sourced, responsibly harvested seaweed could look and feel like, that's when I feel like we can really have, you know, world-changing, game-changing impact on the food system.
You mentioned this sort of, you know, responsibility and the concept of doing it right. What's the risk of doing it wrong? What are the barriers and even the costs, perhaps, as we become that much more critically environmentally conscious? What are some of those risks if you don't do this right?
Great question. We are sitting on a huge opportunity. So I think the and these are conservative estimates, because I think today we are building this category, but conservatively we're looking at a $26 billion global seaweed industry. Economy, I think by 2028, if I'm not wrong. So huge opportunity here. And there was actually this paper that came out to suggest that, and this is, I was mentioning this, this is the paper that has turned my life upside down in the best possible way. So it came out in Nature, and it said that if we substitute 10% of the human diet with seaweed by 2050, 25 years, we will literally change the world. We will spare 110 million hectares of land, which is 2.5 times the land mass of California, to be afforested, reforested, do whatever, let nature do its thing.
Yeah.
We will save fresh water. We will save nitrogen fertilizer. We will reduce up to a gigaton worth of carbon emissions per year. And we will also get that associated bump in land-based biodiversity. And we can do all of this by farming 1.8% of the ocean.
Yeah.
So we're really at the brink of this industry blowing up. I think the risk is if we don't put, and this is also something that I feel really passionately about and I'm trying to rally a community around, is if we don't put the standards of what sustainable harvest, responsible harvest looks like, we could make the same mistake in the ocean as we have on land. So we could basically create the industrial land-based agricultural systems, which have destroyed our soils, destroyed effectively our food systems, monocropped our land. We could just recreate that system on the ocean.
And I imagine that obviously more than just being wrong, the impact of that kind of catastrophe will sort of deplete, you know, this wonderful precipice that exactly. you're on. In thinking about that, what's the long-term mission? And let me put that a different way. Why is the long-term mission of Rootless important for kind of the global cultural consciousness? I mean, let's say that everyone does transformatively incorporate seaweed as 10% of their diet and 10% of even their global activities. Mm-hmm. You know, why is this important for sort of our own cultural consciousness?
Yeah, great question. All of these are great questions. Okay.
That's the way we like it, by the way.
I love thinking deeply about this stuff. I've now spent over a decade working on climate stuff, you know, international climate solutions, whether it's I co-authored a forest policy for South Sudan, I've worked on island issues, I've worked on, you know, state adaptation climate plans in India.
Yeah.
I have been entrenched in this world of doom and gloom storytelling with climate change. It is fear-based. It is upsetting. I think it's disempowering. I'm really excited to flip the script and tell a story that is hopeful and glorious and thriving. And to me, this seaweed is the root of that story. You know, this we talk a lot about climate technology these days, and you know, that's a big buzzword in our community. And I think the beautiful part about this is that the technology exists. The technology is in nature.
Yeah.
What I think we have to do, and to me, what is real innovation in the system writ large, and I think Rootless is a part of this, is how are we creating kind of value responsibly in the technology that already exists? So I think, you know, there's the tactical kind of physical impact that you can have by eating seaweed, by growing the economy, by growing the ecosystem, by preventing, you know, damage as much as possible over the next 2 to 3 decades. But I think on a softer, like, cultural aspect, I really want to tell a story that's hopeful. You know, I want people to feel like they can actually be a part of solving this problem as opposed to getting overwhelmed and having climate anxiety, which I think a lot of people are experiencing now.
No, I think that, you know, having a story and a product and sort of a element of our cultural consciousness that is non-anxiety provoking is important. And, you know, last but not least, if I really think about how deeply changing this could be, what's been in many ways, you know, in thinking about that storytelling of not being doom and gloom, but what's been inspiring about, you know, your work with seaweed and Rootless in such a way that has kind of a accelerative property, right?
Yeah. Ooh, interesting. I find the thing inspiring. Such a nerd. I find just like the science around seaweed inspiring. I thought this paper was brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm actually kind of reorienting. I wrote a love letter to the author of the paper. I was like, this is This has changed my life. Yeah, can we get on a phone call and can I understand the data? Wow. We spoke on the phone and he's wonderful.
And you nerded it out.
Exactly. Okay, I think the best hour of my week by far. But I find just learning about the thing fascinating. It has also just stood the test of time. You know,
sure.
It has literally been around since the beginning of time. So I love learning more about seaweed, kind of biophysically, the nutritive aspects, etc. I think the community that is committed to building this right is incredibly inspiring. It's so small. We are we're very much in our infancy in terms of an industry. And I can confidently say every single person I have met, whether it's, you know, we're still pre-competitive, so I don't think we have competitors, but even if it's other seaweed CPG companies or investors, or today I had this amazing conversation today with, you know, longtime seaweed fans, and everyone is just cool. Everyone is committed to this thing. Everyone is inspired. Everyone finds hope in the water, if you will. So I think building with people who are all kind of equally committed to this thing in a very, you know, singular way is really inspiring to me.
Well, I mean, building community and finding wonder in that, and hopefully developing and cultivating more inspiration around you is something hopefully that a lot of people will start looking towards and building with you. Sachi, thank you so much for joining us. What a treat to have a conversation with you.
Thank you. This was lovely. And thank you for all your thought-provoking questions.
Thanks so much, Sachi. And you can learn more at rootless.com. Thanks also to Camille Romani for making this happen and repping the Brown Girl Surf community. And catch all spotlights and episodes of Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing wherever you listen to your podcasts. Until next time, I'm Abhay Dandekar.